Well, Elliot, you're a big softie, and like many of us, you overmarried. So do you have big plans today?
No, not really. I think like around me, every day is Valentine's Day.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Elliot, talk to you next week. thanks for calling in. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome. It's nice. Hey, you know what? Your Valentine to us is that you're actually there.
Yeah, it's a real gift. It's a real gift.
Last week he says, I just hear your voice and I start laughing before I even go on the phone.
It's just the way. Hey, listen. Well, I'm not here Monday either, so whatever. You shush. Let's start with Zach Cassian. Ooh. What's the number?
Ooh. I think it's like, so you look at the really bad, you look, Simon got 30.
Yeah.
Like he was in a real run of getting suspended. Pronger got 8. Skinner got 2. Cassian's been suspended once already this year. I'm saying around 8. That's what I think.
Yeah. It feels double digity to me because it's easy. Because that was the thing with Simon. He was getting suspended a lot, and it was also an easy one because he was, back in those days, like he was a tough guy, and this was an easy guy that they were going to be able to live without. Cassian's been a productive member of that team, but at the same time, he does kind of have that we can make an example out of you kind of feel to him, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is that. You know, I do, and you know, the other thing too is, like, look what's happening with the skates right now. You saw that one with Mikheyev, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the just after Christmas on December 27th. Like, that was really serious. You saw in the Vancouver game the other night a totally accidental play with Pettersson and Zach Smith, and Smith got hurt and had to leave the game. Like, the skates now are being sharpened, honed to such a degree that it's extremely dangerous. And, you know, I think the league had a meeting at All-Star with what they call their laceration committee. Chris Johnston reported about this last week. And they're talking about making wrist protection mandatory. And they're handing out some prototypes to the players saying, please try this out and tell us which one you like. It's serious. Like, you're basically stabbing somebody. And so they're concerned about it happening accidentally. When something like this happens on purpose, it's a big deal. And I think they're going to send a message and say, you can't do it. Like, no matter what you're thinking on the ice, you can't do it. So I think the Oilers know that they're going to be without them for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Car doors, zippers, are you packing right now? What's going on?
What's that? Yeah.
What's going on?
Corey Sarich is here. He wants to know, what do you got?
What are you doing?
My wife just came back from the pharmacy. I was picking her up.
I'm like, are we going to hear you running a bath? Like, I know it's Valentine's Day, but if you could hold off for 15 minutes, jeez.
You know what? To do this radio hit in the bath, that's now going to be something I do at some point.
Well, you've done it on horseback. We've heard you do it on horseback.
Yeah, that's true. That's right, yes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I forgot about that one.
We were talking the other day.
I fit in perfectly well to that cowboy world.
That's right. Yeah, you are. We were talking the other day just about significant defenseman injuries. We saw Seth Jones go down. Obviously, Shea Weber, his season is up in the air. We've got Giordano and Hamonic here. I just wonder what it's going to do to the... If you're a team that would like to add a depth defenseman, suddenly that's... You've got teams that need defensemen, let alone depth. I wonder what the price tag for D-men now is going to be.
Well, I think that the guy that means a lot for is Alec Martinez, because I think there's a lot of interest in him, and he's also got another year. And I think Carolina tried to trade like a more veteran kind of player for him, and I don't think the Kings are interested in that. They're looking more for a pick and a prospect, and I think all of this has driven the price up. You know, I've heard that. You know, with the exception of Kreider, I've heard the rental market is pretty soft. Like, some teams have kind of told me, and you know, it could always change over the next 10 days, but the bites they're getting are not as great as they wanted. Now, players with term who our teams want, those players are definitely getting nibbles. So I think it comes down to, does your guy have term, or does your guy have, is he a rental? The other thing, guys, and now, Corey, I would love to hear your opinion on this. I think that this All-Star break, where teams are getting a lot of time, I can't imagine, like, I think this has got something to do with all the injuries. Like, think about it as a player. You're going hard, and then you get, what, like 9 days off, and then you have to go hard again because the games are really meaningful. Like, I think this has got something to do with it. I really do believe that they're getting too much time off at that point in the middle of the season. And, you know, hey, you go, you rest, you take your vacation, and then you're asked to ramp it up at a really high level. I think that's got something to do with all this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's supposed to do the opposite for you, right? Rest is supposed to be the weapon. You're supposed to feel better, come back refreshed. But I, just relating to personal experience and the guys I played with, it's a lot for guys to go away from it for that long. It was tough enough just to have a 1 or 2 day break and stay right into things. Now, I don't know if there's studies you can do to see what effect that has, like having such a drastic drop off in your physical activity from like skating and training and being out there every day to then just kind of going. I'm sure a lot of guys do nothing. There'd be some training. There'd be like jogs on the treadmill. There would be some bike rides. Guys just trying to do anything they can do to keep their cardio up. Does it have an effect on, you know, the muscles that all of a sudden that are not being used, like Mark Giordano's hamstring, and or is that a product of age? It'd be pretty hard to pinpoint it, but if it's a trend that continues, I don't know. Like the one that that cracks me up though is the ankle sprain the other day, Shea Weber yeah, getting shot in the ankle. Well, that's not a sprain.
Yes.
Like, let's get serious here.
Yes.
So that has nothing to do with anything but being shot by a puck. But you might be onto something. I wouldn't disagree. The time off, it's hard to crank your body up and come back into it. It takes a little bit of time. So, and there is no time at this point in the season. You've got to be going. Maybe the break is too long. Maybe it should be a couple shorter increments spread out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wonder. Like, the players do get more rest than ever, which I think is a good thing. Like, you've got the 4 mandatory days off. But I just look at this and I wonder, is it – and Giordano played in the All-Star game. So at least he, you know, he was a little bit. But I just do wonder. Like, I look at all this and I say, is it a fluke that all these guys are getting hurt right now? Or is there something to it? I have no idea, but I can't help but look at it and wonder.
Elliot, what's your read on the NHL and the 2022 Olympic Games? I know there's a lot to you know, kind of layer in there, but what's your read on that situation, and is that directly tied to the CBA?
The league is making sure it sounds it is. You know, I think the players are a bit annoyed about that, and I get it. You know, it was all about costs, and they got told that it was because of costs, and I think a lot of people understood that they weren't going last time. But if you'll remember, 15 months before that happened, they offered the players a deal, right? Like, they said, if you extend the CBA, I think it was for 3 years, we'll go. So, to me, the league has always seen it this way. Look, like, what did we learn this year about labor? Number one, the league likes the CBA the way it is. And number two, the players had the option to open it, and they didn't. They're not in the mood for a fight either. So I think this gets sorted out. I just think it might take some time to get there. You know how these negotiations are. They're a grind. I think they'll get there because the IOC has removed one major stumbling block. But, you know, I think it's going to take a bit of time.
He is Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider here on Sportsnet. I'm curious to see what Steve Yzerman is going to do as we head to the deadline. We saw him go to work in Tampa Bay, and I think right across the board, a lot of people really admire the work he did there. He has a challenge in Detroit. They're going to pick high. He has, I'm just looking here, the number of restricted free agent forwards he has, and then the unrestricted free agent defensemen. I just wonder, of that group, you look at Athanasiou and Mantha and Bertuzzi and a lot of these guys. What kind of a hockey trade? What do you see Stevie Y doing here? Because he's not one to sit in his hands.
Well, I think the biggest problem they have there is the players on his team, who's increased their value this year?
Yeah, Bertuzzi, but that's about it.
Yeah, but are you trading him?
No. No, you're not.
Like the thing is, like, I'm looking at New Jersey right now. You know who I think has a lot of interest is Blake Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're getting offered a bid for him. Like, I heard yesterday that they've got some offers there that are really making them think. And I get it. Like, you're trying to build. But the other thing I say, Dean, is, like, are you giving your fans something to watch? Like, at what point do you say, what's the reason for someone to buy a ticket? And, like, if you're Detroit and you really want to increase your base, you could trade Bertuzzi, you could trade Manta, you could trade Larkin, if you wanted to. But what are your fans going to want to watch if you do all that?
Elliot, looking at sorry, I'm jumping on you. Finish, please.
Yeah, I just think teams weigh that all the time.
Elliot, looking at this defensive core, you've got three rentals back there, Green, Erickson, Daly. You said there's not going to be much of an appetite. Is anybody looking here? Or because of the way things have gone, there'd be no interest? Does anybody want to come digging here for a rental?
I don't think there's a lot of interest. Like Erickson's cleared waivers twice. Daly, he's been hurt a lot this year. I mean, to impugn Trevor Daly, it feels like I should almost go to jail for that. Like, he's such a tremendous guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, you know, like, he just hasn't played. He's been hurt and he hasn't played well. And Green, I did think there was going to be a time where someone was going to take a shot at Green, you know, just because of how offensively gifted he is. And someone still might, but I don't think you're getting a lot for him. Like, you're not getting a significant piece. You know, the one I think they really hoped would get them something would be Athanasiou, 30-goal scorer last year. But he has had such a nightmare year that I'm just not convinced that they're going to get much for him. Also, you know, he's got a rep. He's a pretty stubborn guy. And I just think that it's going to be tough for I think it's going to be tough this year. I think it's going to be really tough this year for Detroit to get a lot for their guys. And they've let people know for some time now that they're open. If you want to deal with them, you can. And I just don't think there's many nibbles.
2 years in a row, they give up their first-round pick. I know we've asked you about Winnipeg before, but they give Paul Maurice an extension, which was kind of surprising to me anyways, that it had mixed reaction in the market. They're a loyal group, and I think that extension, I know you're the same thought, well-deserved for Paul Maurice. But what do the Jets do on the deadline? And I know there's still some complication with the Dustin Byfuglien situation.
Let me ask you, because, well, like, I gotta understand this, okay? Why do you think why are you surprised Maurice got an extension?
I'm not surprised. I said I was surprised at the mixed reaction Winnipeg.
But I'll take that argument because they're trending down in three straight seasons.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. Like, how much of that is the coach's fault?
Well, but you know how the business works, Elliot. It's not about that. It's you can't trade everybody else.
But the thing is, it shouldn't be about how the business works. It should be about what's the smart decision for your team.
If anything, they have been criticized for being too conservative. Claude Noel was our AHL coach. Now he's our NHL coach. The whole thing, right? And so, I mean, I'm fine with it.
Forget it.
I like Maurice.
Don't do conventional wisdom. Like think independently, Dean. Don't go with the group think.
Listen, I think Maurice.
Do you think he's done a good or a bad job there?
Well, what's the measuring stick? How many wins away from a cup final were they? And
three.
And then they lose in what?
First round.
And now they're trending to not make the playoffs. So I don't know.
Now, do you think that's coaching?
This year I get it. because you lose Myers and Byfuglien and Trouba from your blue line, that's devastating. I'm just saying, when you start...
I'm telling you that this year, he has done an incredible job.
Oh, well, tell me why. Tell me why.
Because you're obfuscating and you're refusing to give an opinion.
I don't know what that word means, but go ahead.
Okay. This is why I think he's done an unbelievable job this year. Okay. Why are they close to the playoffs? Number one reason, Hellebuck. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And their players have played great. And to me, at the end of the day, the players deserve the most credit. This is what I think the coach does, okay? In this day and age, where the league is younger than ever, and two, players have more power than ever, the number one thing a coach has to do is get his players to play hard, okay? Will your players buy into what the coach is selling? So this year, and you named it, 2 years ago they go to the Stanley Cup semifinal. Last year they lose in the first round. And what else do we know about Winnipeg last year? Those players weren't getting along great. You know, Wheeler came out and said, I wasn't a great captain. All right? They lose, their defense gets ravaged. They lose Myers, they lose Trouba, they lose Sherratt, and people don't realize what a good player he is. And then on the eve of training camp, Byfuglien says, I'm not playing. Plus, at the time, Connor's not signed and Laine's not signed. What do you think the Jets are going to be this year? You think they're going to be a disaster. You think they are going to finish way miles away from the playoffs. You look at that defense on paper, and on paper, where would you rank them in the league? 25?
Yeah, it's rough. There's no doubt.
Okay. So he goes in there, and I talked to him about this at the beginning of training camp, and he says, I don't care about all the negativity and how it looks around us. I am going to create a positive environment here. Wheeler comes out and says, I'm going to be a better person. And what he has done is he's created an atmosphere. He says, all the negativity, that's out there. In here, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
we're going to compete. We're better than people say we are. He points at Wheeler. He says, that's a great player. He points at Scheifele. He says, that's a great player. He challenges Ehlers to be better. And the other thing, too, about Laine raised complaints, and he aired some of them publicly, about his role. And Marie says to him, okay, we'll give you those opportunities to do other things, but you have to give us payback by being a more well-rounded player. And Laine has done it, and Maurice has kept up to his end of the bargain. I think he's created an atmosphere where those guys were challenged to be positive and to be better, and they have. I think they have overachieved, and the players deserve the most credit for it, but the coach has to create the atmosphere where the players believe they can do that. You know, a coach, players panic if their coach panics. Players are nervous and pessimistic if their coach is nervous and pessimistic. But if the coach creates a positive environment, even when it looks bad, players buy into that too. And that, like, to me, this is not about Maurice's systems. It's about they're a point out of the playoffs. They should not be a point out of the playoffs. They should be far away from that. But he's created that environment. Hellebuck and the other guys have delivered. That's why I think he's deserving of extension. I don't know how many coaches could have done a better job with that team this year.
You got to give the players some credit, though, too. You look around the room and you look at the contracts that are up front on that team. This is a team that could, and we've seen it before, get very individualistic, these must be some guys that, there's got to be some character in that room because it could have gone the exact opposite direction. You got everybody pulling in the wrong direction, and this thing's a disaster. So I got to give those players as much credit because it looked like doom and gloom at the start of the season. So maybe Paul Maurice is the right guy, but I'm impressed with the character in the room, and I think that speaks to, as much as I sometimes have issues with Blake Wheeler, but maybe he's changing. And Mark Scheifele, I think, is a guy that is a great leader, and he's only going to continue to do so.
Well, Corey, like I said, I think at the end of the day, the players have to play, right? And the players deserve the most credit. And Hellebuck this year has been dynamite. Like, he's a Vezina candidate for sure. I'm with you on that. They have to play. Joel Quenneville always said to me, players play, coaches coach. And but what I do think is the coaches create the atmosphere. And if your players buy into the atmosphere, then they take over. And I think that that's happened in Winnipeg. Maurice created the atmosphere, and the players took over. I don't think you play to that level. Those guys have played this year if you don't believe, and they clearly believe. And that's why, like, I don't get it. Like, you know, guys, sometimes I think, I talked about it this week in the podcast, you guys are in Calgary. You guys live and breathe the Flames every day. I watch them, you know, from three provinces away, and I'm not immersed in it like you guys are. And I think there's benefits to being immersed in it, and there's benefits to being where I am away from it. Because when you're in your shoes, and the people in Winnipeg and Manitoba are in their shoes, like, everybody there is either a zero or a 10. You think they're either a great player, and everything you see about them you love, or you see all the warts, and you're like, holy crow, that guy sucks, and he sucks worse than anybody else could suck. Like, it's one or the other. It's always an extreme. And when you're away from it like I am, you know, sometimes it's good because you see it from a more detached nature. And I know there's a lot of bitching in Winnipeg about that extension. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I look at it and I'm like, you know, I just don't see it the same way. I see a guy who created, Dean, you hate your program director going to work every day, then you're not going to be good at your job. Instead, you're bad at your job for other reasons.
That's right. lit a fire. And the other part. But yes, you're right. We lit a fire under you. You know, I was going to say, the whole thing started with, why would people be surprised? Well, you look at Vegas, they've trended downwards. They made a coaching change. And Nashville, the same thing. Like, I get it. I know some of the guys that work in the market. And we talked about this the other day. I was amazed the press conference that Paul Maurice held after the Bill Peters stuff came out.
Yeah, he was great.
And he basically kind of said, you know what? I've made some mistakes and I'm trying to get better and all of that. And I've talked to some of the guys there and they would say the same thing, that he's a different coach today and this year. That whole team, it's like they're kind of learning together, even though Maurice has been in the league a ton of years and the Wheeler's been around. You kind of spoke to it. It's almost like there was a bit of a kumbaya, come to Jesus moment somewhere along the way with Wheeler, with Bufflin, with the coach, because it did seem like there was a powder keg there that maybe people didn't see from the outside, and they did come together.
I think that organization did a lot of soul searching after this past year.
Yeah.
I do. I agree, and I think, you know, there's one guy who tells me, and I think it's a great line, you can either trade your problem or you can solve your problem. And it's much easier to solve your problem. And, you know, I think Winnipeg had to make change. Like, I don't think they're, like, yes, I agree with you, they've trended downward. But do I think it's because of coaching they've trended downward? No, I don't think that's it. I think number one, Trouba wanted to go elsewhere. They were not going to be able to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They weren't going to be able to solve it. I think if they had known what Bufflin was thinking, they would have made different decisions. Like, I think Myers and or Sherrod is still there. Like, that one was dropped on their lap. But last year, I think, was a really tough year on them. And I think they said, we got to fix it. And I think they've tried to fix it. And at the end of the day, that's always the better route. Can we solve our problem ourselves? I don't think it's a coaching fault that they're not as good. I think they had to make some changes. Some circumstances were thrown upon them. And it threw their organization into a bit of chaos. But I generally think that those guys this year have done a great job of weathering the storm. And I think it's a real credit to the coach and the players that they're in the playoff race. I knew people this year who thought they had no chance, and they're right there.
Before we let you go, then, all that being said, do they do anything at the deadline?
Don't ask him any more Jets questions. We've broken them.
I think, if they can get a defenseman. I think they're in on Martinez. I know they're in on Martinez. I'm not convinced they're going to get him, but I know they're in on it. I think if they could add a D, they will do it.
I'll take next Friday off just so I don't get you angry.
You know, I think it's a great conversation. And, you know, Dean, you and I like tearing at each other. So
we do.
It's good. It's fun. Yeah.
Sorry for ruining your bath.
No, no. I got to tell you, one of these days, I'm going to do this hit in the bath.
And yeah, and don't say anything. We'll just hear the rubber ducky squeaking in the background. It'll be great.
I'm going to find some way to give subtle hints that I'm in the bath.
Yeah.
This is going to be a grand plan. Don't you
okay,
worry.
I can't wait. Thanks, Elliot. Have a weekend, buddy.
All right. Take care. You guys too.
There are a lot of things about this show that frustrate me from time to time, but the ease that people have just to kind of dial away from the win one at a time, keep working, things will work out in the end, the cliche stuff. Because people say, oh boy, you and Elliot. Like, no. Ellie and I talk all the time. We got him fired up, and that was, like, I love it.
And then we end with him in the bath. Like,
and then he says, yeah, I'm going to do this in the bath one day, which is a hideous visual, if you think about it.
I was hoping, is that with, that's with trunks on, right?
Oh, I can barely look at him with a suit on.